Joining me in the studio right now, Maria, morning to Maria Bider. She is an EMDR therapist. Sounds very complicated, is it?
No, it's actually quite simple, to be honest.
All right, so EMDR, and you know what, I have to admit that I've cheated a bit. Why? Because I have been for EMDR therapy, number one, and number two, I actually went to Maria's lecture when we were away for Passover in the last week, so I have cheated slightly. It is absolutely fascinating. Tell us what this is. What is, first of all, what does EMDR stand for?
EMDR stands for eye movement desensitization reprocessing. So a bit of a mouthful there.
All right, so let's stick with EMDR because it's sounds a little less complicated.
It's the eye movement that you need to remember.
Right. It's about the rapid eye. And what is it?
So it's a recently discovered modality which somehow magically seems to heal people from traumatic experiences. And the way it works is that while a person is thinking about the traumatic event and focusing on where they feel it in the body, as well as the emotion that goes with it and possibly a negative belief about how they were feeling at the time, it seems to move the traumatic memory into the adaptive memory whilst the therapist is moving their finger backwards and forwards very quickly so that the person in therapy is following their finger and doing rapid eye movement at the same time.
So it almost tricks the brain into dealing with a traumatic memory.
Yes, research shows that it's connected to REM sleep,
right,
and that during REM sleep, memories are processed, which is why REM sleep is very important. But I'm not a scientist, and I can't really understand it myself, and I don't even know if neuroscientists understand it that well themselves either. They are doing a lot of research into it, but we just know from evidence and research that it works.
Right.
And people that have done it.
Well, certainly I've done it, and Unsigned sending me a message a little bit earlier saying I've done EMDR, and it's great. So do people at this stage specifically use it? It is focused on trauma.
Yes, although it's beginning.
Although trauma is very broad, isn't it?
Yes, trauma is a huge area. It could be anything from a loss of a loved one,
right,
abuse, a hijacking, terrorist attack, or even something like moving to a different country could be traumatic for somebody.
Right. So you can employ, but can you employ it over a, you know, we always say that, that South Africans definitely, whether they've been in an incident or not, suffer from some kind of post-traumatic stress. We're quite anxious as people because of much of what's gone on in our environment. Can you use it in that sense, or is it better if there's a specific event that you are using it to deal with?
Yeah, in order for it to work, there has to be a specific traumatic event that the person can recall.
Right.
And then they focus on a snapshot of it. But what's really important to remember is that you're not going back into the trauma. You're sitting where you are in the present and looking at the trauma as if it was removed from you and it's in the past and you're watching it on a video reel.
So you're quite grounded in the present.
Yes, it's very important that you stay present and with your eyes open.
Right.
But also, as I said, it is being used for other things now, not just trauma. So it's becoming broader. It's even being used for phobias, such as a fear of flying.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So how would that work? But you could really effectively use it where you ground yourself in any current situation and you take yourself to a traumatic experience.
Yes.
and you work through it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You're a therapist, you're a qualified therapist. Is EMDR, can anybody practice it, or at this stage is it really, only being made available to people who really understand a little bit more than just that process?
Yes. So in order to train, you do have to be a qualified social worker or a psychologist or within the therapy field.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because you're not just doing the EMDR, which could take 45 minutes up to an hour and a half, but, you know, there's a whole process of, you know, getting to know the story of the person, the narrative, and, you know, obviously there needs to be trust and rapport. And I use EMDR, as part of, you know, the whole therapeutic process. It's just one element of it. It happens to be an incredible gift that we've been given, I feel, but it's not the be-all and end-all.
How long has it been around?
It was first discovered, actually, in 1987 by an American psychiatrist whose name was Francine Shapiro.
Right.
So it's, again, it's quite recent.
It is relatively new. 34519 or 0618951019. We are talking about EMDR, which is really a fairly innovative and relatively new style of therapy specifically to deal with trauma. Is it useful or helpful with children?
Yes. I personally don't work with children, mm-hmm. but there are specific EMDR trainings with children. I've watched sessions with children, it's amazing to see.
So they could deal with a bad bullying scenario at school. They come home and they've obviously been traumatized, or they've seen something. They've been in a car accident. I mean, there's multiple ways, obviously, you know. And we always talk about the extremes, you know, the abuse. But in fact, most of our children have experienced trauma during everyday normal. In inverted commas, a normal days, you know, whether it's something that happens, unfortunately, whether they witness something at school, mm-hmm. whether something happens to them, but, it is a good, and in fact, what it doesn't, it doesn't over-therapize them, does it?
No, because it doesn't. It's
because it's one or two sessions.
Exactly.
And
it's very contained. Exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And short.
Can it be used for more than one person at a time? In other words, if you have a trauma within a classroom or at a school, can EMDR be used for a class, or is it better to do, you know, each person, each child on their own?
It's definitely better to do it individually, mm-hmm. But there are ways of doing it en masse in a classroom if, you know, God forbid there is a classroom traumatic incident. Yeah.
Right. Okay. 34519 or 0618951019. I'm chatting to Maria Bader and we're talking about EMDR therapy. Have you heard of it? Have you ever tried it? I'd love to hear from anybody who has. After my second hijacking, which then became a complex trauma because of the fact that I had had two hijackings within a very short period, somebody recommended that I went for EMDR. And I found it to be, I in fact did them concurrently. I went to somebody, one person for post-traumatic therapy in the more traditional way because I wanted to go on a journey and understand, you know, where this was taking me. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, and you know, simultaneously, or concurrent to that, I went for EMDR, I went for two sessions, one of which would have been adequate because I really found it incredible. And in fact, what I found was it allowed me then to deal with my other stuff, you know, in normal therapy much easier because I wasn't stuck on that event and I wasn't experiencing these terrible symptoms of post-traumatic stress, the sweating and the nausea and the you know the heartbeat, you know, that mm-hmm. that is so much part of the you know, that so much part of that experience.
Mm-hmm.
So is that something that people do? I mean, do they do these things concurrently, or do most people just go and do the EMDR and get on with their lives?
I really think it depends on the individual. I've had clients who have sat with me for weeks and months, and in the middle of the therapy, I've suggested EMDR, mm-hmm. and we've worked on, you know, one or two traumatic events, and then moved on to you know, talk therapy and different ways of doing things. So I think it really depends.
All right. The time is 8:22. If you have any questions, let us know. 34519 or 0618951019. In the meantime, let's take a quick look at what is happening on our highways and byways. Because it can be traumatic. It can be completely traumatic.
Yes, as an animal lover, I think I would find it very disturbing.
Well, the truth is, when I saw the photos, and someone says there are more than, no, that's very rude. That is very rude. Can I read this? Even if it sounds, it could be a bit possibly sexist.
Oh my goodness.
Can I read something sexist? I don't know. I don't know. What am I going to get into trouble if I read an SMS from unsigned to say that there are more than two cows wandering around the streets of Waverley? Oh no, that's not okay. Hey? No. That is absolutely not okay.
Not very PC.
No, it's not even PC. It's unacceptable.
Sure.
Wow.
I'm not going to the PCC with you.
No, BCCSA, by the way, that's where Zanati and I found ourselves in time. It's a Broadcasting Complaints Commission. Yeah, we've got our own parking place there, under a tree, which is very, very nice, but they do know us well. All right, but there you have it. Yes, Neil says maybe they caught an Uber.
I wonder where they've gone.
Yeah, exactly. Where on earth would they go to? So, Maria, we've been talking about EMDR, of course, amongst other things. It's a fascinating, absolutely fascinating form of therapy. I, for one, as I said, could highly recommend it. I did go for EMDR therapy after my second hijacking. Are you finding that, it is taking off, or is it a very, as with anything new, any new type of therapy, is it slow to catch on?
No, I think it's very,
very popular. You're
practicing
in Israel, right?
Yes, and it's hugely popular in Israel, and I think it's beginning to take off in England.
Right.
And I think it's already very big in America and in many other parts of the world.
Right, so it is becoming a thing, and certainly it is available here. Well done, and thank. Oh, no, you see, I can't. When they don't take us seriously, our listeners are nutty.
It's your fault.
It's my fault. My fault. Everything's my fault. Garen says, I only saw the one cow, but I didn't know where the other one went. I can't. Garen, I'm trying to have a serious conversation here about EMDR and stuff. You know, that's why they make it impossible. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is what I have to deal with. This is what I have to deal with.
Right. And this is what I have to deal with.
As a consequence. Yes. Well, well done to you for managing actually to keep us on the straight and narrow here for about 12 or 13 minutes.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and keeping our listeners actually
We are talking about the cows, I do want to point out that animals actually don't ever experience this PTSD because...
Seriously?
Yeah. Well, what happens is when there's a traumatic response, there's the hormone cortisol and adrenaline is released in the body. And when the danger is over, animals just go back to a normal state and the hormones dissipate. But whereas in humans, it gets trapped and that's why they have PTSD and all these symptoms.
That is absolutely fair. Except if let's say, and you know, you sometimes see it, it's a very sad thing. If a dog's been treated badly, they are afraid of people. Is that's not the way we're responding to it. That's not PTSD. That's just their training. Is that right?
So, I do think that they experience emotions, and I'm not a vet or an expert on animals, but I do know that, animals naturally are able to
deal with that.
To dissipate the hormones that are released when the fight flight response takes place.
Right, so they dissipate it and it doesn't come back every time they hear a sound. I know I would get it from the sound of footsteps on gravel. You know, that was almost like a trigger for me because that was my first incident. Mm-hmm. I was in a parking lot and that's what happened. Mm-hmm. So it was a certain sound that could trigger it. Animals obviously don't. Absolutely fascinating. Unsigned says re the cows. Let's just wait for them to come home. It is 8:30. Here's your news headlines.